I've discussed the value of making sure our patients are alkaline for many years, but just to review, when we're acidic, it's more difficult to detoxify. We have far more free radicals. We demineralize bone by pulling key minerals into suspension as buffers, and enzymes and hormones don't work as well, and our cell membranes become less efficient. Speaking of cell membranes, with an increased acid load, hydrogen ions displace intracellular potassium and magnesium. But if a buildup of toxins, weaker bones, excess free radicals, and inefficient cell membranes are not bad enough, an acidic chemistry affects the amount of oxygen our hemoglobin carries. That means that hemoglobin can absorb oxygen from the lungs and begin to carry it throughout the body. However, in an acid chemistry, oxygen is released prematurely and never gets to outer cells or tissue. What thrives in an anaerobic state? Bacteria, viruses, and fungus. Remember, pH is a logarithmic calculation. Small movements in pH represent huge shifts in hydrogen ion concentrations. Optimal blood pH is 7.35 to 7.45. So a pH change from 7.35 to 7.25 is a big movement. 7.35 to 7.15 is huge, and to 7.05 is massive. Note that at 7.05, the pH is still not technically acid, but it's relatively acidic compared to the optimal blood pH. This concept of optimal pH goes beyond the hemoglobin's ability to hold on to oxygen. In a state of metabolic acidosis, everything takes more energy. It's like pushing a boulder uphill. Let's take enzymes. Even if all the nutrient cofactors are available to catalyze the enzymatic reactions, the enzyme activity will be greatly diminished if the body pH is not optimal. Right now, in the anti-aging field, hormones are the big buzz. But if hormones and their receptors are outside their optimal pH, they will still function, but at a reduced rate. For example, at the wrong pH, it may take twice as much of the same hormone to induce an equal response. Maybe we should be balancing pH before we embark on hormone replacement therapies. Blood pH is regulated by lungs, kidneys, and a series of intracellular and extracellular buffers. The intracellular buffers include proteins and phosphates. The extracellular buffer is the bicarbonate ion. When you hear the word buffer, think of it like a sponge soaking up extra hydrogen ions. You can use urine, saliva, and blood to screen for an overly acidic chemistry. I heard an interesting lecture by Dr. Carlos Viana, CCN and OMD. After being in this field for over 40 years, he shared a simple compilation that has brought consistent results and has served as a great monitoring tool for him and his patients. It comes from a simple blood test. Divide sodium by chloride. An optimal value would be 1.4. So if a patient has a sodium of 140 with a chloride of 100, 140 over 100 equals 1.4. Dr. Viana commented that someone with a score of 1.35 is mildly acidic and is already beginning to mobilize calcium out of their bones. Patients will notice an increase of tartar build up around their teeth, have an increase of kidney stones, and often wake up stiff in the morning. Patients with a score of 1.3 are very acidic and have periodontal disease as well as a host of metabolic conditions. He suggests increasing the buffering agents that reduce the effects of an increased concentration of hydrogen ions. The best buffering agents are plants. We've been told 10 servings of fruits and vegetables are optimal, but some researchers are suggesting that since our food is so depleted of key minerals, we should aim for 12 servings per day. Of course, we want to reduce the amount of acidic foods that are overconsumed. By that, I'm referring to simple carbohydrates and processed foods laden with chemical additives, flavoring agents, etc. What else can we do to increase alkalinity? Biotics makes three outstanding products: nitrogreens, potassium HP with magnesium, and a powdered form of vitamin C called mixed ascorbates. You can see links below on how to use them in combination with other urine and saliva indicators as well. Dr. Harry Idenier has articulated other correlations in blood in his excellent work, More Than Just a Bunch of Numbers, Making Sense of Blood Chemistry Results. This text comes free with a seminar taught by Dr. Abbas Kutab called Mastering the Science of Integrative Blood Chemistry. Dr. Kutab does an excellent job helping doctors to integrate laboratory testing into their practice. See links below for seminar dates. I hope I'm painting the picture that with an acidic pH, you can recommend bottles and bottles of supplements, but the patient will recover very slowly until you address the root cause, metabolic acidity. With so many physiologic factors tied into pH, I encourage you to start measuring your patients. By the way, changing pH values for the good or the bad takes time. They don't happen overnight. So these simple indicators will help you motivate your patients and give you the tools that you need to monitor progress. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you next Tuesday. Most Americans have three things in common. Most have a relative acidic imbalance that's robbing minerals from their bones. Most have dietary deficiencies in magnesium. And as recently discovered, most are deficient in potassium. In regard to relative acidity and pH, Dr. Alex Vasquez shared a position paper on urinary alkalization written by emergency room physicians. These doctors work with suicide patients that had been acutely poisoned or had cases of industrial poisoning. Emergency room physicians found that when urinary pH was 7.5, the body was able to excrete toxins more readily. I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for ways to encourage daily detoxification. In regard to potassium, according to the Food and Nutrition Board of the Institute of Medicine of the National Academies, February 2004, adults should consume at least 4.7 grams of potassium per day to lower blood pressure, blunt the effects of salt, and reduce the risk of kidney stones and bone loss. This is a very dramatic statement because that means 90% of Americans are below this goal. We know that an acidic chemistry can result in bone loss as the body uses bone resorption as a means to buffer the excess acids which maintains homeostasis. People who are acidic also tend to have elevated levels of cortisol. Chronically increased cortisol further promotes degradation of bone, which causes calcium to spill in their urine and potentiates kidney stones. Latent acidosis places a drain on potassium storage, as potassium is also used as an important buffer. Indirectly then, sufficient amounts of potassium help prevent bone loss. Here's another dietary buffer you wouldn't think of. Citrate. One molecule of citrate can buffer three hydrogen ions. The combination of potassium and citrate may be more important than if they were isolated. One study showed that potassium citrate can lower cortisol levels. Consider this, an acidic chemistry is a stress on the body. By increasing natural buffers like potassium, magnesium, and citrate, we can reduce stress and also reduce cortisol. When you think about acidic chemistries, what conditions come to mind? That's right, hypertension, diabetes, and heart disease. Here's an interesting study that supports higher levels of potassium. A meta-analysis of prospective studies in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology, 2011, involving 247,510 patients, showed higher dietary potassium intake, 1.64 grams per day or more, is associated with a 21% lower rate of stroke. This study was based on 1.64 grams per day. Remember, the Food and Nutrition Board of the Institute of Medicine is suggesting 4.7 grams per day. So how can we use this information clinically? Dr. Vasquez assisted Biotics Research to develop a powder that contains 1,200 milligrams of elemental potassium as potassium citrate per teaspoon, called potassium HP with magnesium. Each teaspoon also contains 120 milligrams of magnesium in the citrate malate form. It mixes extremely well with water, has almost no taste. Add it to a water bottle with a little juice, and you have a perfect alkalizing agent. Encouraging patients to eat more fruits and vegetables or to drink a green drink can be challenging, but patient compliance with this product is a slam dunk. Dr. Vasquez suggests patients measure their urine and shoot for the aggressive goal of 7.5, just like the emergency room doctors suggested in their work. That way we can dump the maximum amount of toxins and are careful to avoid too much potassium. want to challenge you to get some pH test strips and start measuring your own urine. You may be surprised. Unless your diet is pristine, you'll find you have an acidic chemistry. Use the product yourself and begin to see the changes. Start with a half a teaspoon of potassium HP with magnesium daily for a week. Add another teaspoon based on your urine pH. Slowly increase to 3 teaspoons. Remember, start slow. This gives the kidneys time to adapt. If pH goes over 8.0, reduce the dose. pH is designed to move slowly. Don't expect too much too fast. Our goal is 4.7 grams per day, including food. There's a link below that will support our discussion. I want to encourage you to take another step on your own wellness journey. A week doesn't go by that I don't hear about a new toxin in our environment. The key is making sure we can flush toxins and not retain their negative effects. Once you feel the benefits yourself, asking your patients to take this small step towards better health will be a snap. Thanks for watching this week, and I'll see you next Tuesday.